What's up? This is Movies on Up. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Evil doesn't die. I am Dave, joined by the mic to my Myers.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, Ryan. So we are Dave and Ryan.
I'd be the Laurie to your Michael.
Yes, the Strode to my Jamie Lee Curtis.
Because I have both genitalias.
Yes. So we are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, Evil doesn't die. If you know what that movie is from, it's somewhat relevant to this in a way. Hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, Twitter @moviesonup, facebook.com/moviesonup, or moviesonup.com. We're nearing the end of October, so we're wrapping
technically
up.
This is the very end of October.
We're wrapping
Happy
up.
Happy Halloween!
10 full episodes of Movies on Up. And this one, what better way than one with Halloween in the title? Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
One of the good ones.
Much anticipated third one in the Michael Myers trilogy, correct?
Yeah, it's the third one. Sure, I'll give you that, yeah. It is the third one. Came out in 1982, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, directed by Tommy Lee Wallace, written and directed. So a true auteur in this, starring Tom Atkins, Stacey Nelkin, Dan O'Herlihy. Domestic gross, $14.4 million. It is the second lowest grossing Halloween movie of all time. Do you care to guess what is the lowest grossing?
H2O.
No, number five. Halloween 5. I think it's The Curse of Michael Myers.
With Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd and I do believe Daniel Harris. The worst grossing Halloween film of all time. Halloween 3 actually opened number 2 in the box office its opening weekend on October 22nd, 1982, with $6.3 million. It opened against Rambo. First Blood was number 1 that weekend with, I don't know, but it was over $6.3 million. I can tell you that. Its total domestic gross of $14.4 million ranks it as number 3,435 on the all-time domestic grossing list. Do you want to guess the movie directly below it?
Deep Star 6.
It is not Deep Star 6. But interestingly enough, this movie kind of poorly fits into a franchise. The number 3,436 film, Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins.
That's one of the only James Bond movies I've ever seen.
Interestingly enough, it's not a James Bond movie, and it's not a franchise because the adventure began and ended with Remo Williams' The Adventure Begins. The movie directly above it, number 3,434, any guess?
The Adventures of Baron Monsoon?
No, it was Tea with Mussolini. Very close, though. I was kind of digging, and sometimes I do this just for fun. See what kind of movies are around there. And there are some... definitely some pod favorites that show up around there, and maybe movies that we've talked about recently. Number 3,432, a personal favorite of mine, Night of the Comet. Love that movie.
Same star.
No, that's Night of the Creeps.
Yes.
Yes, both starring Tom Atkins. Night of the Comet did not star Tom Atkins, but I like it nonetheless, and who's to say if that movie might not make an appearance or might have already made an appearance in one of my lists. I'm forgetting when this is supposed to go.
Spoiler alert, we're not recording in order.
No, this actually isn't Halloween. But you'll figure that out because we'll probably make this mistake tons of times. Number 3,431, a movie starring Superman and Batman. The new Batman playing Superman, Hollywoodland. We talked about during our Ben Affleck episode a couple weeks ago. And number 3,427, also a number 3, also a big piece of number 2, Psycho 3.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Psycho 3 did better at the box office than Halloween 3.
I don't know if you can tell that we're throwing in a bunch of extra stuff because...
it's fun.
What do you really say about Halloween 3? The big elephant in the room that Ryan...
or elephant not in the room.
Ryan did the research that I did not. Halloween, near perfect horror movie. We've gushed about it many, many times. Halloween 2, okay.
Yeah.
It's still okay. Same kind of thing. Michael Myers comes back. So you've established that with two Halloween, Michael Myers has made his mark and become an iconic figure. And then Halloween 3 comes out. Season of the Witch. Not Season of the Witch with
Michael Myers.
Yeah. Season of Michael Myers' witchy grandmother. Nothing. Michael Myers is nowhere in here. Laurie Strode is nowhere in here. Nobody.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Nobody from the first two movies is in here. So... why is this movie called Halloween 3?
technically, Michael Myers does make an appearance. They watch Halloween. It's playing on some TVs later on, but that's just me being a jerk. Obviously, Michael Myers does not actually appear in the film as a character, and that obviously was on purpose. He didn't get cut out in the editing room floor or anything. The intention of producers Deborah Hill and John Carpenter, who was a producer on this one, had nothing to do with the writing or the directing, and that's pretty obvious. It was their intent to make this what they referred to as a pod movie. What that means is they wanted to take this idea of Halloween and a movie that could be released every year right around Halloween, but not all involving the same story of Michael Myers. They wanted to do sort of an anthology series, but on a feature scale, where Halloween 3 would be its own separate contained story. Halloween 4, its own separate contained story, not involving Michael Myers or Irish witches or anything. They wanted them, that was the intention going forward, 3 through however many, was to distance themselves from a perfect horror movie.
Which isn't a bad idea if it starts with 2. You've already given me 2 Michael Myers, so by the 3rd one I'm expecting Michael Myers.
Yes.
If you want to start this, I understand the Halloween name has something, but you're not putting out something that's earned that respect the Halloween name has. So change it to Halloween Night, Hallows Eve, Season of the Witch. And then, I mean, it's a brilliant idea. An anthology series of movies that you could put out on Halloween or near Halloween. Paranormal Activity is kind of doing it, but it's the same ground where if you had, like, say, Tales from the Crypt was, I mean, they tried to do it with, not necessarily around Halloween, but they did Demon Night, they did Bordello of Blood. That was supposed to be an ongoing series of horror movies that don't really have an ongoing arc. And this one didn't have anything. It wasn't related to the Halloween movies at all. And people didn't really like that.
I don't know, because I wasn't obviously alive for the marketing of this movie, but I'm not sure if people didn't know that there was going to be no Michael Myers until they went, because, I mean, obviously, the first weekend, people went out to see this. It was number 2, and then fell off.
This is pre-internet. How would you really know the average moviegoer? Like, now, not everybody's looking on the internet. If you released Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, directed by Rob Zombie, now, people are going to assume it's a Mike Myers movie, and there's so much more information there now, where then there wasn't the information. So a large number of those people going out opening weekend had to think they were going to a Mike Myers movie.
And I would feel a bit duped, you know, had I been kind of tricked into seeing this movie thinking that I'm going to get Michael Myers. Now, if you watch the trailer, Michael Myers isn't in it. But I don't know how obvious that was or how savvy the movie going public was at that point. I mean, yeah, the internet wasn't around. Maybe you could read reviews in the newspaper or, you know, wherever else guys were doing movie reviews at that point.
Plus, even with, because it's not the only time this happened. Nightmare did, or Friday the 13th did it unsuccessfully also.
It was after this, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were carrying over, they at least had Tommy Jarvis coming. So they at least carried something from the mythology.
And a guy that looked an awful lot like Jason, a serial killer.
Yeah,
in a
so
mask.
I mean, it was the same kind of movie, just without Jason. Whereas this was not that kind of movie at all.
As Friday would learn later on down the street, I mean, obviously this formula did not work. We got Michael Myers back in Halloween, starting in 4, into perpetuity. Because this bombed so bad.
Same with Jason.
Yes, exactly. They brought Jason back the very next one as well. But I guess that begs the question, why did this movie bomb as bad as it did?
Because of I think people felt duped. I think it was, a Halloween movie. I enjoyed the first 2. And then word of mouth is going to kill it when people are realizing, it's a completely different movie. But to transition from that, so as a Halloween movie, it's terrible.
Yes.
As a Halloween movie, it's a joke 30-some years later because it's such a terrible sequel. Even though it wasn't intended to be a sequel, but when there's no information like now, how do you convey that? It should have been released under a different name. As a standalone movie, take away Halloween 3, even if it's called Season of the Witch, which still is a terrible title that doesn't make sense, how do you feel about the movie then?
I really still don't even like it. I don't think that it's necessarily a good horror movie. I think it's bad.
It doesn't even feel like a horror movie for the most part. Starts off as like a mystery.
Yeah.
Then it gets a little too sci-fi. It's a bit of a mess.
Yes. It's
a mess of a movie. I don't think it knew what it wanted to be right away. And I felt like
they were making it up as they went along.
I'm forced to watch some of this show even though I don't like it. Have you ever watched American Horror Story on FX?
I fell asleep during the premiere.
The second season especially, first and second season so far, feel like this movie stretched out because they're trying to do so much and put so much weird stuff in. And I felt like this tried to do that all in one movie, but not even a full movie because it starts off slow. But then once stuff starts happening, it starts getting weird and stuff just starts going. It's a mystery movie, then a sci-fi movie. There's a horror element to it, I guess.
I think the gore in here goes, I don't want to say it goes unnoticed, but I mean, one of the things that I remark about the first Halloween is kind of the lack of gore, but it didn't need it because it more than made up for
it. Movie,
yeah, exactly. This one, I mean, you know, there are some kind of gruesome kills that are pretty brutal. And in that respect, I guess it's a horror movie, but the plot in general didn't seem to be very scary. I mean, you bring up Remo Williams being a Bond movie. I kind of feel like the plot, like this villain's idea would have been something out of a bad Bond movie.
It's very Bondish. It's very, what are you accomplishing? Like, I'm
not certain, but it does seem like you're going an awful long way to get wherever it is you think you're going.
Yeah, so it doesn't stand alone well as a Halloween sequel.
No.
Doesn't stand alone as a movie on its own right now. Compare it to the one-off horror movies now. Not like The Conjuring that found success or Insidious, which found its audience. Stuff like The Apparition or The Whatever Elsening and all these just the word movies. Like, compare it to those. Is it far off from those?
I don't know. I mean,
most of them are pretty terrible.
What's the difference between, if we're saying something's like, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would say this movie might be like a 3. You know, what's the difference between a 2 and a 3? They're both garbage. I don't want to watch either of them. This one, I hate to be the guy that's just like, oh, this is such a piece of crap. It's terrible. I think most people don't really like this movie. And I tried to find, you know, some things that I liked about it.
I tried.
But, you know, there really aren't too many. I think, and maybe it's just because it's what I do for a living, but I think the marketing aspect of this movie I find the most interesting. Obviously, it was marketed as a Halloween movie, but the marketing, the movie within the movie, the Silver Shamrock campaign that they had, I think would be brilliant and could really work, kind of stepping up and doing the 6 more days till Halloween. I liked that. I thought that
was
kind of neat.
And
yeah.
It drove it over the head, and it did do a good job of making you think, like, oh, companies do run stuff like that. And when they run well, you get sick of them because they're done so well. And that's how it was. A lot of, you might look at it and think they overdid it, but I think they did it just right because that's what it would have been. And I think it might have planted the seed for a later John Carpenter movie.
That might be kind of stretching it, but I do enjoy the idea of manipulation. That's absolutely all this plan by the bad guy, whatever the hell his name was. I think I have it written down somewhere, but I'm not really interested in,
nobody
in
cares.
Flipping through it. Yeah. But you know, his idea to have a mass child sacrifice, while it was pretty complex, it was, the way he got it done was very interesting. Is take something that, you know, kids are very greedy. They're very, I want this, buy this for me, mommy, mommy, daddy, I want, gimme, gimme, gimme. And he took that, which everybody thinks is obnoxious about kids, and used that against them. They had to have these particular masks, and it had to be this brand of mask too. You know, it couldn't be just like the mask that Tom Atkins brings his kids. No, those were bunk. It had to be the Silver Shamrock. and everybody got them, you know, because of the power of the marketing behind it. And, you know, I guess for what it's worth, they turned people into masses of snakes and spiders and bugs and such.
I do like the ending because it's one of those that it's definitely a standalone movie because it's one of those open-ended endings where it's you don't know how much damage is actually done. So
sure, I mean,
all this might be for naught.
You think that, you know, after Tom Adkins throws the badges, the Silver Shamrock badges onto everything, and the Stonehenge stone explodes, wiping out the bad guy, you'd think that, you know, maybe that would kind of wipe out any possibility of the badges working in the remaining masks that had already been sold. But I guess you don't know. I mean, definitely Tom Adkins was trying to make sure that didn't happen by calling up, and this is what I think is so funny, calling up the television switchboard, I guess, that
yeah.
operates all four or three or four of the TV channels
yeah.
that are available and asks to have the commercial pulled from all of them, all four of your channels. It's dated now, but it's kind of cute. And was that necessary? Was it not necessary? You know, who knows? But I did think it was kind of a nice touch.
I mean, one good thing, Tom Adkins is awesome. And even in a bad movie, like, he was still fun to watch. For somebody who's mostly a character actor, he's just got this on-screen charisma that it's hard not to like what he's doing.
This was not my first rodeo with Tom Adkins. Had it been, in this movie, I don't think he was that good. I prefer my Night of the Creeps Tom Adkins.
I still think he was fun to watch, though. I definitely like him more in Night of the Creeps.
Yeah,
I
but
can't
he had
help
already
but watch him in scenes and then deliver one-liners from that movie,
yeah.
like in my head.
I just wanted him to say "thrill me" at some point. But I mean, I think I had already. I'm already over the falls for Tom Adkins by the time I had seen Halloween 3. If I had seen that first, I would be like, what the hell? Everybody in this movie is terrible. And really, everybody else was, in fact, terrible.
Yeah. There's not a lot to say about this movie. If this were a one-off movie, it would be completely forgotten about.
Yes.
Now. Like, yeah. We wouldn't be sitting here talking about how terrible it was. Like, that Tom Adkins mask movie from 30 years ago. We wouldn't remember. It would not be talked about. But because Halloween is still so relevant, it's lumped in there. It's kind of like, okay, it was a blessing for that movie to be called Halloween because it got an audience out there, but it's a curse because 30 years later, we all remember how terrible it is. Instead of if it were just called Halloween Mask Movie, it would be completely forgotten.
I think it's a real shame that this movie ended up being as bad as it was, because I love the idea of a movie called Halloween that would come out every year at Halloween and would be its own self-contained story. I love anthology movies. Now, these wouldn't have been quote-unquote anthology movies. Each movie, as a collection, they could have been an anthology. And I would have loved that. But I think this story is so bad and so convoluted that, you know, even if they tried to start its own one-off franchise, if they would have called it Halloween Night or whatever, this movie was so bad.
It wouldn't have continued.
Right. There's no way that could have continued. But I think if they were able to have a compelling story that could have been Halloween 3, something else, if that would have been a compelling story, I think people would have been opened to coming back to see Halloween 4, which is its own.
I don't know that I agree there, because with Friday, use that as an example. It wasn't Jason, but it was a similar movie.
But
and people still didn't like that it wasn't Jason.
It wasn't Jason, but it was a killer in a hockey mask. They set you up the whole time thinking that, yeah, we just killed Jason, but we didn't. He's still around. You know what I mean? They didn't completely break from it.
Yeah.
They did, I guess, in the narrative, but everything else led you to believe it was still Jason. This, in no point did they try and trick you into thinking Michael Myers was still running around killing people. I mean, he was a movie character in this movie. I just think the idea of having an anthology movie called Halloween that could be produced every year, like the Paranormal Activities, but not with the same storyline, or like Saw, but again, not with the same storyline.
Saw was enough of the same storyline. Paranormal Activity is enough of the same storyline. I'm going to use an example, say something like Final Destination. My biggest complaint about those is them trying to tie all the movies together.
Yeah.
You can be filming two Final Destinations concurrently. They can be completely separate, standalone movies that come out every Halloween, and you can do different stuff with them. The Purge, you could do the same kind of thing with, where, you know, The Purge was awful, but if you did a sequel that took a different view of it, like, say, somebody, their car breaks down and they're not home for The Purge, so it's them trying to get from point A to point B during The Purge, that might be interesting. It doesn't have to be connected to Lena Headey and Ethan Hawke and any of those people from the first one. I think both of those are in it. So, I mean, I like the idea of a horror movie that even if the idea is similar, but it's like Cloverfield. You could have made so many Cloverfield movies from that one night that don't have to be the same. But that's where Hollywood gets in the mindset now that because one thing, it all has to be the same. And that's, I would kill for a Cloverfield sequel that's a narrative style and not found footage. They would never do that.
Yeah, I think fundamentally we agree, and the reason they don't do it, I don't know if this is the sole reason, but if you look at how this movie performed, when you broke from the narrative of Michael Myers, it flopped. Now, that's why I wish that there would have been a better story, there would have been a better test case for this type of idea than Season of the Witch. I think that being setting precedent for this can't work. I think it can. It takes, number one, a lot of balls to try it, and number two, and probably more important than the balls, it takes a really great stand-on-its-own-two-feet story to accomplish
which
it.
Which this wasn't.
No, it wasn't. And that's where I think the biggest failing was.
Do you think it could work? Does it need to have, say you call it Halloween Night, do you need to have Halloween Night, Season of the Witch, Halloween Night, Werewolves Attack, or something like that? Or could you just make Season of the Witch, Werewolves Attack, and just focus on making movies? It like something like Tales from the Crypt. Like,
yeah.
Bordello of Blood and Demon Knight are two separate standalone movies, but the Crypt Keeper introduces them.
I like that
better than just standalones.
I like that
ties them together.
Branding aspect. Exactly. I don't want necessarily the narratives to all run together, but even if it's maybe you have a couple characters, like in some of the Tarantino movies, like the characters will be in completely different stories. Or, you know, if you think of Grindhouse, that's kind of what I'm thinking of, is you hear the radio DJ in the Planet Terror movie. Now, those obviously kind of took place in the same universe, but they had really nothing to do with each other. If you could make movies like that had like Halloween Night, whatever, and then maybe just a couple intertwining, just little tiny things, that would be great. I would love that. I wish somebody could do it.
Or do you think it could work in a movie where you do what American Horror Story is doing, where it's fairly successful?
I don't know what they're doing.
The first season was one story. The second season, a completely different story with a lot of the same cast. The third season, completely different story with a lot of the same cast, where the cast is playing different people. Jessica Lange's been in all three seasons as a completely different character. Zachary Quinto was in the first two seasons, completely different characters. So if you had like a core cast and you're just branding it with a name, but yet everybody's playing, would that work on the big screen?
I don't know. My preference would be to not have the same cast. I mean, if you're going to have one character in a couple of the movies, I'd like him to be a main character in one movie, show up like a real quick cameo, like a Marvel-style cameo in the next one.
And just be in the same universe.
Character. Yes, exactly.
Like
all
radio
I want.
DJs are the same. TV
yes.
news people are the
right.
same. But your main characters are different.
That's all I want.
It's a novel idea. I like the idea. Whether anybody in Hollywood has the brains or balls to pull it off, I don't know.
I'm sure there are. I know there's...
Or the funding, I guess, is the bigger question.
I think funding would play a lot into it. And I know that there's enough guys out there, you know, that are making neat horror stuff now that could do something like this. I just don't know. Now it just seems like everything's set up to be a franchise. Everything you start is with the idea of it being a trilogy, or you know, even more than that. Even movies that you think have no shot at doing that, like The Conjuring, that doesn't seem like it should be a franchise, but guess
it's
what?
It's going to get a sequel.
Yeah, exactly. It just seems like the business model now is to have a narrative that continues. So I think you would be fighting uphill to try and, A, get the funding. That's not even the hard part of trying to come up with stories. I mean, those films to die for, that series that comes out every year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of under that brand.
Umbrella, yeah.
But, you know, I don't think any of them really have anything to do with each other. They're just kind of like, you know, 13 movies to check out.
Yeah.
That I usually do at least a couple of them every year. Because
I'm usually disappointed.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, here's my problem is, like, they're trying to build these horror franchises, but look at the most successful ones. You know, Friday the 13th, Jason, Halloween, Michael, Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy. Like, you have to have that strong Evil Dead, Ash. Like, you have to have that character that people talk about. And that's why I think something like, if you want to build a franchise, something like what Jack Brooks' Monster Slayer tried to do, is probably the right thing. Like, okay, here's Jack Brooks' Monster Slayer. We have a fun story involving him. Now we have Jack Brooks that we can put into a different scenario. And I realize that movie kind of fell flat, and it was a low-budget movie that was trying to position itself as a tentpole film, but the idea was right. Just like Bubba Hotep, if they would have done Bubba Nosferatu,
yeah.
Like, you care about those characters, and that's where you need to go, whereas these haunted house movies or haunted people movie and stuff just don't give you... I don't care about Patrick Wilson's character from Insidious. I don't need to see more of that. There's not one thing from Insidious that I liked enough that I need more of it. And I haven't seen The Conjuring yet. I'm sure it's good. I do like Juan as a director, but...
It's fine.
It doesn't look like the kind of movie that I want more of.
But I guess, you know, Patrick Wilson's character in that was like based off a real guy, so maybe he had some other adventures.
And his wife, yeah.
Yeah, her too. On the one hand, I think you're right. Like, we do get a lot of disposable kind of horror concepts that are just, here's your haunted house movie, here's your, you know, possession movie, whatever you want to call it. But I do think that...
That was one. The Possession, I think.
Yeah.
The Apparition.
Sure. I mean, you could almost just come up with these ideas just kind of...
Synonyms.
Yeah, synonyms.
Or synonyms for haunting.
Or being completely cynical, just saying, well, oh, yeah, they could do this kind of movie. Oh, they have, and it probably made $30 million. I think there's enough free thinkers that are coming up with some neat stuff nowadays that if they were to get together, and it seems like... As much as I didn't like VHS and SVHS.
I like the idea of it.
Yes, I like the idea of that. And those guys could do it. Rather than making a anthology movie like VHS that didn't hold up to what I hoped it would be, maybe you take a couple of those and you spin those off into their own stories, because you could have got features out of... You know, maybe one of those.
And I think the found footage hinders some of those.
Yeah.
It enhances some of them, but
right.
Some of those would be better as narratives. And I just, these probably didn't come up in our anthology episode that we did a couple weeks ago. But
just say they definitely didn't.
Yeah, but I think there's something there. Like, I didn't like VHS. I was completely disappointed. Did it stop me from watching VHS 2?
SVHS?
No, I still watched it.
Me too.
Was I disappointed?
Yep.
Yeah. Would I watch 3 if it comes out?
Yep.
I will.
You betcha.
And it's like, there's something there, but just give me a narrative between the found footage. That's where the first two have fallen flat, is the stuff between the stories. Give me something, take away the found footage from just that part, and give me characters to follow and make them react to what they're seeing instead of just, oh, that was weird. Oh, now stuff's going on around me. Oh. I'll put another tape in. That drives me nuts about those movies.
It drives me nuts about those movies, but I guess the only reason that I bring it up is because it seemed to kind of feature some young horror directors.
The first one did. The
yeah,
second one featured
sure.
some directors that weren't so much horror directors.
Well, yeah.
And I thought the ideas in the second one were a lot better. They weren't all executed. But then you look at something like your next, which is Weingart working with other people. And there's this like horror fraternity
the
almost.
Splat Pack, yeah.
With people that are working together that just aren't getting the funding and aren't getting, like, if you give Ty West money to make a big budget, not necessarily big budget, a mainstream horror movie,
that's what
I think
saying.
He's going to bring something fresh to it.
If Ty West and Weingart, and I'll throw Juan in there, Alexander Aja, if each of these guys would make, then they're all friends.
Juan and Aja have had mainstream success.
Oh, no, I know, but I'm saying if those guys could get together and just say, this is what we want to do. You know, we want to make, you know, kind of pod movies like Halloween 3 tried to be. Have one, like, kind of like, I guess, like what Grindhouse did when they had two directors, both had mainstream success, and, you know, make movies that can kind of work together. These guys could do that if they chose, but instead, you know, Juan's making franchise movies.
He's making Fast 7.
Making a ton of money.
Yeah. Horror isn't in a bad spot right now.
No.
Mainstream horror, we've gone way off tangent on our Halloween 3 episode.
Because the movie sucks.
Yeah, mainstream horror right now isn't at a great spot. Horror overall, I think, is in a pretty solid spot. There's a lot of good young filmmakers that are just making good stuff, and it's just a matter of them getting seen. Some of them are doing okay, but it's like,
but that's where I think, like, you know, maybe, and Ty West, I think, is a great example, because I don't think, I'm sure, like, a lot of people that listen to us probably have seen Ty West stuff, but I think on a mainstream stage, I don't think nearly enough people know what that guy can do. But if James Wan, who probably has, you know, the most cachet out of any of those guys, you know, would say, this is the idea that we want to do, and these are the people that are going to be involved, I think he might be able to get that rolling. And then more people would see.
I think what my point was that I kind of lost track is that it's in good spot now with Weingart, West, Juan, Aja, Del Toro kind of still is in the horror realm when he wants to be, and the directors that he's handpicking to do like Mama and The Orphanage and stuff like that. Now is a good time for Masters of Horror to be a thing.
Yeah.
But to do it now instead of, hey, this guy directed an awesome horror movie 30 years ago, let's give him something. Like, reinvent, do something else with that, with this new batch of, show me what Ty West can do in an hour narrative. Because, you know what, I do tout Ty West a lot. I think he's a good director. I'm not huge on The Innkeepers. I'm not huge on House of the Devil. But there's enough about both of them that I'll keep watching what he does. And the way he can handle directors and specifically actresses, like both of those movies have really compelling female leads. If you give him a mainstream movie, he's going to make a star and he's going to have success. But mainstream horror is in such a weird spot right now. And I mean, maybe Juan is the one to rebirth it, which is weird to say.
I mean, I feel like he is because he's had success with what he's done, and we both like him as a director.
But he's going on to Fast 7. How much more is he going to do with horror?
I don't know. I've never talked to the guy, but I assume that it's a passion of his, and it would be something that he would return to. I mean, that's kind of what got him in. You dance with who brung you. I don't see him, you know, abandoning horror just to make car chase movies for the rest of his life. I mean, if that's what he wants to do, fine. He could come on even as a producer, I think would be fine. Like, you know, John Carpenter was a producer of this. Yeah, or Del Toro.
Because, I mean, look at Mama was, say what you will about Mama, Mama was different. It was a compelling, it got a mainstream release. It did well financially. It was different than, it wasn't The Apparition, The Possession, the taking over of Emily Blunt or something. But Mama and The Orphanage, like those are unique, different kinds of movies that he was pulling the strings on, and then he's coming back with Crimson Peak. So I mean, I just want mainstream horror to get back to get good.
I don't care if it's mainstream or not. There's enough stuff that, you know, horror fans, I think,
true
by and
horror
large,
fans find it.
Yeah, it's a genre anyway, so you know it's a subsect, and people, horror fans, I think, are probably the most knowledgeable of any movie fan. They know what's in their genre and they know what's good. If you like romantic comedies, does that mean you see all of the best indie rom-coms? No, it doesn't. It means you watch all of the Katherine Heigl movies and that's about it. But horror fans, and I will give them the utmost respect for they will dig into shit that, you know, you can't find. You've got to go to Chechnya to get, or
example of me with Behind the Mask.
Yeah.
I talked about during our episode how I waited like 18 months for that movie and had email correspondence with the director because that looked like something different, something fresh, and I was so excited for it. Boys Love Mandy Lane took 7 years to get a release date, but true horror fans, most people that wanted to see it have seen it already. Yeah. So it's just such a weird, I don't know, I enjoy horror, and I want it in a good spot, and I think we're getting there.
Yeah, but if you enjoy horror and you haven't seen Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, yeah, I would say that just go right from 2 to 4. That's what you want to do.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
We tricked you into thinking this was a Halloween 3 episode, and we treated you with just talking about anything but Halloween 3.
Yeah, we really didn't do much of that at all, so you're welcome.
Yeah, so, but this wraps up our Halloween month of October. This was 10 episodes, I believe.
Or whatever.
Yeah, so let us know how you felt about Halloween, if we missed anything in any of these awesome episodes we've done. MoviesOnUp@gmail.com, MoviesOnUp.com, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp, @MoviesOnUp on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter @DaveBasella. I have another show, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. We've been back for a few episodes now, and this week we'll be dropping our second annual Halloween extravaganza. So that'll be this week, which will be fun. So check that out. But before we go, we have the final four movies of our 31 movies to watch this Halloween. So Ryan, give your final two movies this Halloween that people should watch. Even though we're way past 31 and we're past the 31 days, like, we're giving you four movies on Halloween, so you've probably already got there. But
every episode we give you some.
We're
to
going
watch,
into November.
I feel bad because my final two, one of them is really good and the other one is a Rob Zombie movie, but I would feel remiss. You know, we kind of talked about like the state of current horror, and I guess Rob Zombie would be mainstream horror director if we've got one going. His flick from this year, The Lords of Salem, I took a look at, and if you didn't know that it was directed by Rob Zombie and produced by the guy that did Paranormal Activity, after about 5 minutes of the movie, it would become very apparent that it is, in fact, a collaboration between the two of those guys. It stars, obviously, Sherry Moon Zombie and the lady from They Live, and she has not aged very well, and as you'll see in this movie. Not a very good movie. Rob Zombie is very hit or miss, and the end of this movie is a big miss. It's kind of close to Rob Zombie music video director. But it is, in fact, about witchcraft. If you do want to check out a good movie about witchcraft, I suggest you check out the 1960 joint from Mario Bava called Black Sunday. It stars Barbara Steele playing two characters, a witch and the relative of the witch's character that she is trying to possess. Kind of a neat flick. Again, I love me some gothic 60s horror. Bava is a master in that.
Mine are a little different, but mine are somewhat related. They're both horror comedies from this year that I adore. The first one, written and directed by Thomas Lennon and Robert Penn Grant, members of The State, who I will forever love The State. It is Hell Baby. Just a lot of fun. It's just a crazy, wacky comedy that just a complete blast. Another one starring a member of The State, starring Ken Marino, Bad Milo, co-starring with Gillian Jacobs. Just another ridiculous premise that doesn't hold back at all and is just ridiculous. But both of those are definitely worth a watch.
So that's it. Puts a little orange and black bow on Halloween and on October. So I guess we will be gone till November. And until then,
keep it up.